It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, millennials certainly know a thing or two about what's trending in the social world and all the different forms of social media, but do we even give thought to the future and planning the way that our parents did and thinking about, you know, savings plans and SEP IRAs and IRAs, or do we just kind of figure we're all going to hit it big with the next.com? My guest is author and consultant on next generation career and workplace trends, Lindsay Pollack. Welcome to the show, Lindsay. So, millennials, who are we putting into the millennials category first off?
Well, thanks for having me. Millennials gets a lot of different definitions. I define it as those born approximately 1982 to 2000. So born in the 80s and
90s. Okay, that leaves me way out of there.
Me
all right,
too, my friend.
I said we at that beginning. Boy, was I way off. Okay, so they're the 20-somethings. The 20 and late 20s-somethings. So they're so dialed in. Phones, iTabs, everything, just iTabs, listen to me, you know, but just everything right now is so technological. What about our futures, our savings plans? Are they looking towards those things?
Well, millennials are really interesting because they do have all the technologies that you're talking about. They've grown up with the internet and iPads and cell phones and every technology at their fingertips. But remember that they also graduated college right around the time that the economy completely tanked. So I think they were on track to perhaps not be so smart about their finances, but I think the realities of the world really hit. They saw that the economy was not going to go constantly up. And I've started to see a shift in millennials starting to think a little bit more seriously about planning for their futures.
Okay, so what do they do? You know, so many of them now are doing, you know, entrepreneurs. We're seeing more and more starting a business, starting a web-based business, being consultants, being web consultants of all different kinds. Now, those people, I've been self-employed for 25 years. There is no pension. There is no IRAs. Nobody's matching anything for you. So first, give your advice to the entrepreneurs out there.
Well, as an entrepreneur myself as well, I've been in my own business for about 13 years. You have to start thinking about this stuff seriously. And frankly, a lot of your peers as a millennial might look at their companies and see that a lot of those benefits are being taken away. So everyone needs to think like an entrepreneur. I love organizations like the Freelancers Union, freelancersunion.org. They have low-cost insurance. They have a lot of these savings programs so that you don't feel like you have to go through all of this alone. There are also a lot of web-based programs that millennials love, like Mint.com is probably the most well-known, that will help you budget and save and find the best interest rates and saving programs. So, you know, I think millennials have to look around and find the financial tools that they're comfortable with. They might not want to go to the same financial advisor that their parents have been seeing for 40 years. They might prefer to do it online or find a book or a blog that they feel comfortable with. And I would really encourage millennials to find the voice of advice that appeals to them. But they do have to do this saving very quickly. And for entrepreneurs in particular, it's all about the SEP IRA, the self-employed IRA, and that has tax benefits. So it helps you now and it helps you in the future.
But now, how do they know when you talk about the bloggers or you mentioned Mint.com? Is that what it's called?
Correct.
How do they know they can trust these sites? I mean, we know we can trust our parents' Merrill Lynch advisor or, you know, one of those guys. How do you know you can trust what you're reading online?
Well, I think you have to go to reputable sources. So ask maybe if you're still a student, the professors at your university. Look and make sure which sites have the highest ratings in the iTunes App Store or from people that you trust. You can also ask a lot of those financial advisors or ask your parents what they recommend to young people. Something like Mint has been around a long time, so I certainly trust it. But go to maybe traditional sources like the Wall Street Journal, like Motley Fool, like advisors you trust, and ask them what they recommend for young people. But the longer something's been around, the more established it is, I think the more generally you can trust that advice.
And how much should they be putting into their SEP IRA or if they're employed to their 401k each paycheck?
If you're employed, you want to put in up to the amount that your employer will match. So if your employer matches 5%, that would be a fantastic goal for you. I think for a millennial, they also have to think about student loan debt, which is something I wanted to mention because it's such a huge problem for millennials. The average millennial has about $26,000 in student loan debt, which is the highest adjusted for inflation of any generation. So make sure you're paying off those loans. And then with the money that's left over, can you put in even 1%, 2%, 5% would be fantastic. 10% would be even better. But do what you can and start early. The amount you put in is less important than the earlier you begin.
Okay, so now also when we are thinking about planning this, and the millennials are, if they're 25 or so, how much do they need to save to be able to retire? As you say, some of these pension plans are not going to be there when they think that they might be, you know, they're saying Medicare, Social Security. You know, we hear all these scary numbers. How much do you figure people are going to have to think about having?
Well, you know, we just can't predict, and everybody wants to live a different lifestyle, but I like the way you're thinking. You know, sit down with a piece of paper and do the math. If you want to retire with $1 million in the bank, what will that look like? If you want to retire with $10 million in the bank, what will that look like? Or maybe look at a goal. If you want to buy a home in your city, what will that look like and how much will it cost to get to that goal? Also, a lot of millennials have trouble with this kind of decision making because they don't know if they're going to get married, if they're going to have children, what other kind of big expenses they're going to have. So plan to put aside maybe up to 5% in your 401k or SEP IRA if you can, as much as you possibly can, and then think about the next 5 to 10 years, which often includes paying off that loan debt, making sure that you can pay the rent that you want, maybe moving out of your parents' house. I find sometimes that giving millennials more than a 5 to 10 year time frame can be really daunting.
Do you have a preference, SEP IRAs over Roth IRAs? What's the difference?
You can certainly do both. The SEP IRA is going to give you the benefit of getting your tax write-off now. So you put the money in now and you're able to get a tax deduction. With a Roth IRA, the taxes are taken out now. And then when you take out the money in the future, they're not going to take out the taxes then. You have to be careful with your income level when it comes to Roth IRAs because you can only put in up to a certain amount. The same goes for SEP IRAs. So with specific numbers, you always want to consult an accountant.
Do we have to be concerned with our credit scores, or millennials have to be concerned with credit scores at this point? I mean, do they even have credit scores after college?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you have been involved in the system at all with your any credit card, even if your parents were paying the bill, you do have a credit score. Interestingly, a lot of employers are now looking up credit scores and using that as one factor to determine if they want to employ you. So credit scores matter for getting a mortgage, for getting a loan in the future, and also increasingly for getting a job.
So is it true that you should have 6 months' salary saved for emergencies?
That is a great number to aim for. In all reality, for a lot of millennials, sometimes that's unrealistic. You certainly want to have as much as you possibly can and aim for that number. But for a lot of millennials, I think that can often be scary. And, you know, I just want to point out, Melanie, that a lot of this information is on a website that I'm part of called My Tomorrow at thehartford.com/tomorrow. And we offer what we call a real-world roadmap to help you make these decisions. What I've found is millennials often think about these issues that you're bringing up at particular inflection points, like graduating from college, getting married, having a child, going to graduate school. Those are good times to ask these questions and reassess your finances.
So give us the website one more time, Lindsay.
Thank you. thehartford.com/tomorrow. It's sponsored by the Hartford Insurance Company and also includes a lot of information on insurance, which we haven't talked about, the kinds of benefits you can get from your employer or if you're self-employed, like disability insurance, life insurance, to protect that money that you're making and saving.
Always good advice. You know, you have to think about the future because sometimes things change, but planning is what gives you that little bit of extra peace of mind. Take it from me. I'm not even a millennial. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD, and stay well.